Praise God. Hallelujah. In Habakkuk chapter 2 verses 1 to 4 it says this: I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer when I am corrected. You know, it's one of the roles and responsibilities of a father's correction. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 12 it says, if we don't receive our father's correction, then we're like illegitimate sons. We're rejecting his father role in our lives. And sometimes it's important that we receive a little bit of corrections, particularly in regards to vision. Because you can have a vision and just talk about it all the time and never actually see the vision come to pass. And it says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets. In other words, publish the vision. Get it out there. That he may run who reads it. It's not enough just to hear about it. It's not just enough to take it on board. The vision should get you running. That he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Sometimes you think the more you put the vision out, the more people run away from it. Sometimes you think, man, keep putting the vision out there, and it's like, yeah, they're running all right, but they're running away with it. They're running away from it, not with it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. I love it. See, go back and I will watch to see what he will say. You think it would be, I'll watch to hear what he will say. No, I'll watch to see what he will say. Because what God says is what you're going to see.
That's right.
That's how faith responds to what God says. When God says something, faith sees it.
Yeah.
Somebody help me. Yeah. I said, when God says something, faith sees it. As a reality, as a done deal. And it begins to believe for what it sees to become. Yeah. Some people say, I'll believe it when I see it. That's not faith. Faith says, I'll see it because I believe it.
Yeah.
The Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run and read it. Some people hear the vision and they say, I believe it when I see it. But those who run, and they kind of run from it. But those who take it on board and say, I'll see it because I believe it, they run with it.
That's
right. It says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. The vision will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him. So the proud hear the vision and run from it. Proud, it's almost like they don't need it. I want to tell you, if God says something, it's because you need it. God ever brings you correction because he's a loving father who doesn't bring unnecessary correction. If he brings correction to you, it's because you need it. Because without it, you'll miss something of his goodness and his glory and what he has planned for you. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. His soul is not the right way up. See, when God speaks, he speaks to your spirit, and at that point your soul should stand at attention.
Yeah.
And your mind should be activated by what God says to your spirit. And you should begin to start thinking in line with what he said.
Yeah.
And your will should come in line and come and submit to what God has said and say, yes, this is what will happen. Because this is what God says. I want what God says to happen. Because whatever God says will be the best thing that can happen. Hallelujah. And your emotions, just line up. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. What he says inspires joy in you.
Yeah.
What he says, it activates a love response. Because you know, when God speaks, it's love speaking. And we love him because he first loved us. When he speaks, we think, yes, wow, yes, Lord. Oh, wow, I love you so much, Father. Wow. And we get excited and joy kicks in. The joy that is our strength, because if you're going to run for any length of time, you need strength. And it's joy that keeps you going. Keeps you running. And peace just settles all over you because you think, wow. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's what peace does. Peace settles the anxiety, the fear, the stress, all of the stuff, the questions, the doubts. The proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. But when the person who lives by faith, the person who knows he's, hallelujah, he's a child of God, because God declared him to be so. Hallelujah. When he hears God speak, his soul stands to attention.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And his body comes in alongside and says, whoa, where can I lay these hands? Where will we go? Where can we go? Where can we go and share this message? Where can we go and reach out to somebody? Where can we go and bless somebody? Hallelujah. I mean, here on Wednesday, I mean, I shared it this morning, but it's just like sometimes something happens and it just kicks off something in you, and you just, you can't shake it until it's time to move on to something else. And when I was just, on Wednesday night, when the Lord just began to bring me that picture of Jesus showing up at Bethany when after Lazarus had died, and coming into that atmosphere that just so often settles upon the church. No, never mind unbelievers, upon the church. You know, that attitude of passive acceptance. Just willing to accept whatever comes along. And even have the audacity to call it the will of God. When according to God's revealed will in his word, it's pretty obvious it's not. And it's time, I believe it's time, God put that, stir that in my heart, because it's time to move from passive acceptance to active and aggressive expectancy. Because God says, the vision's for an appointed time. So you can say, oh well, we'll come when it comes. No, he said that he may run. Who reads it? So it's not about passive acceptance of the fact that it's for an appointed time and it'll show up when it shows up. No, it's about something to activate within us, aggressive expectancy, so we go after it. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, we actually changed it. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 20, it says this. So David went. What did he do?
He went.
He didn't stay where he was, he went. To Baal Perazim, and there he defeated the Philistines. If he hadn't went, he wouldn't have been able to defeat them. If he stayed where he was, then he wouldn't have been able to bring about that defeat. So he went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated the Philistines. And he said, as waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. See, the Lord couldn't break out against his enemies until he went. Somebody. I said, the Lord couldn't break out against his enemies until he went.
Yeah.
And he says, so that place was called Baal Perazim, which means God of the breakthrough. Who knows, our God is the God of the breakthrough. In Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, it says, again, Jesus entered Capernaum after, remember, we're moving from passive acceptance to aggressive expectancy. Hallelujah. Amen. Again, Jesus entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, because our God is the God of the breakthrough. But David couldn't have, God could not have broken through on David's behalf unless David had went. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw the damage they'd done, he was appalled. He said, "How dare you come through the roof?" No, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, you see, you'll see faith. Because faith is active. Faith is active and aggressive. Faith is not about passive acceptance. That's faith. Faith is about active and aggressive expectancy. Jesus saw their faith. Faith without works, the Bible says, is dead faith. Faith that doesn't act. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." He's not any. He knows exactly what kind of reaction that's going to get. He's thinking, if these guys can go to the, if these guys can exercise such incredible faith and come through the roof, I'm going to, let's stir up this party a little bit. He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Oh dear, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" This would be alarm bells going off by now, you know what I'm saying? But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus with them, within themselves, he said to them, see, where do you reason in your mind? The mind, I'm not sure about this, and all what's that, and that doesn't sound right. And, come on. God is speaking. My soul needs to stand at attention. I need to hear what he's saying. Maybe there's some correction coming in this. See, correction with God is not for, it's not rejection. Some people receive correction like rejection. You know, you point out that maybe there's something could do with a wee bit of change, and they think you've rejected them. You think you're having a go at them. But no, with God, correction is always for redirection. To get you back on track, to get you moving again, to get you headed in the right direction. But immediately when Jesus perceived in the spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'?" You see, the reason Jesus said it the way he said it, I believe, is because they needed some correction. Because he had come to raise the standard, not to lower it. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit comes in, he never comes to lower the standard, he comes to raise the standard. They're thinking, this guy's coming in here lowering the standard. How dare they tell that man his sins are forgiven? Because God just showed up to raise the standard. Hallelujah. And how many times has God moved and the church has thought that that the standard was being lowered? They rejected the move because they thought God was lowering the standard. No, he's raising the standard. He's creating a fresh opportunity for advancement, for breakthrough. Hallelujah. You don't break out of sin through the law, you break out of the sin through grace.
That's right.
You don't break sin's power over your life through law, you break sin's power over your life with grace. Hallelujah. The law came through Moses, but Jesus came to raise the standard with grace and truth. Not to lower it, to raise it. Many more people's lives have been changed through grace than ever got changed through law. Sometimes you wish you had a big long platform you could just run up and down, don't you? Hallelujah. I was preaching at church one time with a big platform there, and I'd step out this side and just walk away over the other side. And afterwards, my friend who was with me in this meeting said to me, he says, I noticed that you always go out to the one side of the platform, of the pulpit. He said, well, I just wondered why that was. And I thought about it for a while, and then I realised what it was. Because back home, there was a table on this side, and I couldn't go that way, I could only go this way. So even when there was a whole platform on either side, it just shows you. There was nothing to stop me, but I never went that way because I was used to having a table there, you see. There was a message in there, you know what I'm saying? Just like the elephant, when they're training that baby elephant, and they take the elephant and they tie it with a rope to a metal peg in the ground, and because the elephant's still small and it pulls on the peg and thinks it can't move. And when that elephant is fully grown, you don't need anything more than that little peg in the ground and that same rope to hold that elephant in place. Because he's been trained to think that he can't do anything about that. I'll tell you, we need breakthrough. Say, oh God, they've got a breakthrough. And if the elephant just went, you go, well, now that, there's a bit of rope with a peg dangling off his, come on. Jesus says it this way because he's trying to raise the standard. He's trying to bring some correction to their understanding, correction to their vision. I haven't just come to release the odd healing miracle. I've come to tell people that their sins are forgiven. Because their sins are forgiven, that clears the decks for everything else. Because sin's the problem. And once the sin problem's gone, no other problem can ever again remain in your life because, come on, everything else arises out of sin. Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? You see, if he just said, arise, take up your bed and walk, they'd say, oh, Elijah's back, oh, Elijah's back. Because these guys healed people. God healed people through them. But not one of them ever said to him, your sins are forgiven you. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. You know, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, if you forgive someone, their sins are forgiven. So that you and I have the power to forgive sins, it's that we have the authority to pass on the message. Jesus came from heaven with a message to tell people, look, your sins are forgiven. But that you may know that the Son of Man, he didn't say the Son of God, by the way, he said the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. It's in better condition than this one. You guys, thank the Lord it wasn't my house. Immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all, and so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like that. See, I think we're going to move from passive acceptance to active and aggressive expectancy, you have to make a transition from if faith to faith. Lots of people are trying to live by if faith. Remember what Mary and Martha said, if you had been here, if you'd got here earlier, our brother would not have died. That's not faith, that's if faith. See, these guys, when they got to that house, when they brought, they're carrying their friend on the stretcher, and it's probably really hot. Doesn't say they had any kind of transport in, of a donkey or a car or anything like that, and they're carrying this guy. They probably had to stop a few times for a rest, you know what I'm saying? But they're determined and they're going to get him to the place where they know Jesus is, because they believe, they're believing that if they can get him to Jesus, Jesus will do the business and heal him. And they love their friend. And it's love that activates faith. But you see, they could have got there and discovered, like we just read, that the roof of the house is already full of people. There's no room even all around the house. It's, even all the window seats are taken up. And they could have said, oh, if we'd only go here earlier. They could have said, oh, if there was more room in the house, if it was a bigger house, we'd be okay. They could have said, oh, if, how many ifs could they have come up with? How many ifs do people come up with? And what does it do? It brings that cloud of passive acceptance. It just it puts up a limitation on what God can do, because God can't do anything without faith. But see, that's not how faith speaks. Faith always looks for the way through, because there has to be one. So the guys looked and they thought, well, we can't go through the door. Can't even get through the window. But hang on a minute. We could get through the roof. We came here believing that our friend was going to get healed. And we're not quitting until he's healed. Sometimes it just involves some vision connection. A lot of people would never have looked up to the roof. They would just have looked at what they could see. All of the normal ways to enter a house. Unless you're Santa Claus. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Many people just look at what they can see. Faith doesn't look at what it can see. Faith takes hold of what God says. And when you continue with what God says, it will bring correction to your vision. You'll begin to see things that nobody else sees. Yeah. And they look at the roof and they think, there's our way in. A roof's not the way in the house. But faith ignores that. Because our God's a God of breakthrough. They had to break through the roof. If they hadn't broken through the roof, they would never have experienced, their friend would never have experienced the breakthrough that brought healing to his life. Hallelujah. Sometimes it just involves some vision correction. You know, we need to start. We need to go back to first base. We need to go back to the starting point. Every time, we need to come back to our default possession. Our default possession is we're already righteous. We're already healed. We're already delivered. We're already prosperous. We're all of these things. Why? Because God's declared these things over us. There may be 100,000 different things telling you that that's not the way it is, but that's your default. You need to come back there. Hallelujah. You need to come back to that place where Jesus said, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, so that nothing can by any means harm you. Hang on a minute. This thing's coming to harm me. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, if only this, if only that, if only this was here, if only that was here, if only I could get to this place, or get to that place. No, hang on a minute. Jesus said, I give you authority. No, there's a place of breakthrough here. I just need to see it. Hallelujah. I just need to see it. I need to wait. Sometimes you need to come before the Lord and say, well, help me to see this. Help me to see this from your perspective. Restore my vision here. Recorrect my vision. And just hear what he's saying, because he's never changing what he says. Get back to what he says, what he has said, because if you come back to what he has said, boom, then your soul needs to stand at attention. Because all the issues arise in your soul, all of the reasoning, all of the doubt, all of the unbelief, all of that stuff comes in your soul. You know, no, hey, whoa, hang on, whoa, God said it. Wait a minute. We We need to get back to the default position, which tells us that dominion has been restored to us. That means, and I want you to hear this tonight, that means that we are responsible for our own breakthroughs.
Yeah.
When they had broken through, Jesus didn't break through and appear on the roof and say, "Hey guys, looking for me." Oh boy, come on somebody. I don't know how many church people are sitting waiting for Jesus to appear through the roof and say, "Hi, I'm here, you're looking for me." We are responsible for our own breakthroughs. We are responsible to take the authority we've been given to begin to proclaim and to declare the name of the God of breakthrough. Hallelujah. We don't wait for our breakthrough. We do what these men did for their friend, and we break through. How often times do we say, "Oh, I wait for a breakthrough"? No. We break through. And when we break through, we discover the God of breakthrough right there. Hallelujah. Come on now.
Yeah.
It's in breaking through you discover the God of breakthrough.
Yeah.
If David had never went, he would never have discovered the God of breakthrough was there with him, before him. And the Philistines would have lived to fight another day. Maybe they'd have got an opportunity to get stronger, to bring in reinforcements. I want to tell you, when the enemy starts sensing a stirring in your life, you've got to act. None of this passive acceptance rubbish. We need to become aggressively expectant. There's a lot to be said for the element of surprise. We're waiting for God to surprise us. Why not surprise him? It's supposed to be a two-way relationship. We think it's a one-way street. Come on. It's not about me always giving Katrina me surprises. Now and again, she gets to surprise me with something. That's how a relationship works. Hallelujah. We say, "Okay, Lord, surprise me." And he says, "Come on, guys. When are you going to surprise me?" Jesus was surprised that day. Mm. Hallelujah. He's down there in that room, surrounded by people. Come on, sweaty bodies. And all of a sudden, oh, some nice wee breeze in here. Where'd that come from? Da da da! Surprise, surprise. There's faith in the house.
Yeah.
There's no record of anybody getting healed before then. Although the house was full of people. There's no record of anybody getting healed from that point, until that point. Oh, hallelujah. The message in there too. Paul said we need revelation. Understanding regarding the God who is able to do. And I love this, because it's just, it's crazy. The God who is able to do exceeding, abundantly, above. Oh, sometimes we're so religious and we're so, I don't know, just so locked into business as usual. We don't spend a few years meditating on something like that and think, how ridiculous is that? I mean, you can't get above all. If you can't get above all, how can you possibly get abundantly above all? See, a lot of people look at that and they think, well, that's just impossible. They reason. They don't even, they've never, you know why? Because they've never even expected all.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're locked into passive acceptance, which means some he does and some he doesn't. We'll accept the ones he does. Hallelujah. And we'll accept the ones he doesn't. What a shame. So, because they've never even got to all, that's why they never get to experience the God of breakthrough who breaks through all. He comes out the other end of all and he says, ta-da, above all. I And just when you're blown away, gobsmacked, flat your back going, wow, he says, ta-da! He says there's more. It's like the Corbyn, who wants to be a millionaire, but we don't want you to have this. And he rips up the check for half a million. And you're out there. He said, God is able not just to above all, and it's and abundantly above all. I mean, you're totally like a thing. And he says, ta-da! I am the God of breakthrough. I'm not going to leave you stuck at all. I've come to raise the standard. How can you raise the standard of all? Make it above all. How can you raise the standard of above all? Make it abundantly above all. How can you raise the standard of abundantly above all? Well, it's not exceeding abundantly above all. I think there's just a pattern being sent there that you're not really supposed to stop at. Come on now. We are talking about the God who inhabits eternity. You like you can't number it. Come on now.
How long is that?
Well, how long's a piece of string? It's a lot longer than that. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's on the wall, guys. It's the year of great change. It's a year of exceedingly, abundantly, above all great change. If you want it to be. It's not a time to retreat. It's not a time just to tread water, it's a time to advance. It's a time to run with the vision. Hallelujah. That he may run. Who reads it? Who hears it? Jesus said, go preach the kingdom. He said, go heal the sick. He said, go cleanse the lepers. Go raise the dead. Go cast out demons. I love the way he put raising the dead before casting out demons. He just does these things, you know what I'm saying? It's like, how can you say your sins are forgiven? how can you raise the dead before casting out demons? Surely that's raising the dead's the hardest. We thought it was. We put it at the end of the list. We'd like to rearrange the list and then just cut it out altogether. We'd like to snip it off, rub it out, erase it, just say, well, let's forget that bit. He says, freely give of everything that you have freely received. There's one thing I can tell you tonight, categorically. And if you never pray for the sick, you'll never see anyone healed. If David hadn't went, he would never have seen the Philistines defeated. He would never have experienced the God of breakthrough. I've never seen anybody healed. When's the last time you prayed for somebody? Well, I haven't actually ever prayed for it. Well, guaranteed then. Do you want me to explain it for you? Would you like us to take this step by step? I can guarantee you're waiting to see somebody healed. I've heard people say, if I see someone coming out of a wheelchair, then I'll really believe that God heals. I said, you will not. Your mind will come up with 100 reasons how they come out of the wheelchair. It's a fraud. On and on and on and on. Blah, 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 blah. I want to tell you, if you never reach out and touch the untouchables, you'll never see them cleansed. If you never rebuke death and call life back into people, if you just remain in passive acceptance instead of active an aggressive expectancy that what God said is what God will do, then you will never see the dead raised. If you never exercise your authority over the powers of darkness, you will never cast out a demon. If you just remain in passive acceptance mode, nothing's going to change. But this is the year of great change. Oh yes, Donnie, you've been telling us that since, in fact, before the beginning of the year, you started telling us at the end of last year. And we've been waiting for it. Well, maybe it's time to stop waiting. I mean, you're probably sitting there in passive acceptance saying, well, there we go, that's almost September. How did they change? Yes, it wasn't for this year after all. Guess we'll just have to accept that. Or we can start running with the vision. We can do what David did and get down where the Philistines are and discover that the God of breakthrough is there before us. Hallelujah. He's only there because we're there. Come on, somebody.
Yes, yes.
If you never freely receive what you've been freely given, and if you never go on to freely give what you freely received, you'll never see God's kingdom come. You'll never see His will done on earth as it is in heaven, no matter how often you pray it. Come on there.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, man. Okay, now did you remember to say your prayers? That's it. Yeah, God bless Mammy and Daddy, Carl and Donnie, because Daddy wasn't there yet. But guys and grandpas, aunties and uncles, cousins a lot. Thank you, Jesus. Good night. And then we had to put the other one at the end, which was just the frightening one, the scary one. You know, God's night, I didn't say my prayer, Lord, I only gave you 5 days. Tell you what, it worked.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Does anybody want to really see this change? It's not change. It's not the change that governments bring about. It's not the change that people can just, you know, juggle things around a little bit and say, here, you present you with basically the same thing and call it change. Come on. We're talking about great change. We're talking about the God of breakthrough. We're talking about exceedingly, abundantly, above all kind of change. The change that God's out there going, ta-da! And you're going, oh, this could not have happened. Only God could do this.
Yeah.
What happened is, after these guys broke through, it says it was heard that God was in the house. Come on now. I tell you, when God shows up in the house, great change. Great change. If I were to tell you, He's in the house, He's always in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what Jacob said? He said, what did he say? God was in this place, and I did not know it. Just testing. Not when you got it, by the way. Yeah, that's how I'm looking. I'm like, wait, you're with you. Got it first, probably. I think we're about the same time, but. Aren't you glad we're not here to compete? Does anybody here tonight want to see heaven on earth?
Yeah.
And let's wait to see what He will say. Because what He say is what we will see if we run with it. But as long as we're in passive acceptance, we ain't going to see anything. Jesus waited for 2 days before He went down to Bethany because He heard the Father say, stay where you are. Because we're about to raise the standard. they're getting a hold of the healing thing. If you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. How could they say that? Because they knew he would have healed him of his sickness. But no, we're about to raise the standard.
Yeah.
You're about to discover that not only do I heal the sick, but I am the resurrection and the life, and I raise the dead. Oh, hallelujah. But I won't raise it on your ifs. I'll raise it on your faith. You know, he managed to draw some faith out of one of the sisters. She said, well, actually, nevertheless, I do believe that whatever you say, God will do it. She was in passive acceptance, but he moved her forward out of her passive acceptance into active and aggressive expectancy. I believe she went down to the grave that day along with Jesus, and she wasn't saying, behold, he stinketh. She wasn't part of the behold, he stinketh crowd. She wasn't in the conversation that was saying, oh man, can you imagine the smell? She's been in there a few days now in this temperature. Oh, something was stirring in there. It's time to advance. It's time to move forward. It's time to move upwards. It's time to move from faith to faith. How can you move from faith to faith? Only because God says you can.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you go from glory to glory? Because God says you can.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's just, there's more, always more. How can you be in heaven for eternity and then not get boring? Because there's always going to be more. Someone said, one time they said, you know, when the angels are flying around the throne, the seraphim, the cherubim, it says when they're making that, they're singing out that declaration, they're proclaiming forth that, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts, the whole earth is filled with his glory. They said, it's not just like, you know, singing the same chorus three times, you know. It's because every time they do a circuit, they see something different. That brings forth that expression fresh. Hallelujah. Amen. I might tell you, folks, it's time to take the rural areas of this island and of the highlands that have been neglected. And it ain't going to happen until we wait. Pardon the phrase. God's been stirring it in my heart again. It's time to go. Why? Because until you go, you don't experience the God of breakthrough. Oh, but I'm waiting for that breakthrough. Some of us even have got the audacity to say, we're believing for a breakthrough. Well, you're it. And I'm it. We are the breakthrough. It's time to go. It's time to advance. It's time to break through. It's time to begin ministering healing everywhere we go. In the workplace, in the marketplace, wherever we are, begin to minister healing. Begin to offer it, begin to proclaim it, begin to declare it, begin to break through. See, they wouldn't want to hear about that. Well, stop looking at what you see in front of you and come in through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say there's a place of breakthrough in every person's life. You just need to be able to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's someone who has the wisdom to direct your breakthrough. Hallelujah. Jesus sits down at a well with a woman and they're having a good religious conversation, you know, and the woman's hoping to hold this end soon so I can get out of here before. And then Jesus says, why don't you go and get your husband? Everything changed at that point. That was the breakthrough point. Somebody, she's like, he says, actually, I know you've been married 5 times already, and I know that the guy you're with right now is not your husband. first of all, she's wondering why he's taunting her. Is he hitting on me? Because she's had enough of that in her life. But he's doing the religious talk, so maybe he's just a sneaky hitter on her. Then he hits, boom, right through. Then he brings revelation to this woman that he hadn't brought to anybody else. The most powerful revelation that she could possibly have received that's come down to us right now. That the Father is looking for worshippers. And that she qualifies. Regardless of her past and her history. Hallelujah. Are you excited tonight? Do you believe that it's time for breakthrough? Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. If we don't go, if we never went, if David never went, he would never have discovered the God of breakthrough, that he was there before him. And I want to tell you, God, we're waiting for him and he's waiting for us. Because he's already spoken, he's already declared his purpose. He's already said what he wants. He's already told us what he wants for us, what he wants us to receive. He says, I want you to receive this land. I want you to reach the people of this place. I want them to experience the exceedingly and abundantly above all. I want them to move from passive acceptance to aggressive expectancy. I want them to get, I want them to reach the all and then break through the all. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know how many, how few people, I should say, have actually even got a revelation of the all? Do you know how many people have been bombarded continually with bogus theology that tells them that you can't even expect the all? Well, it's time for breakthrough. Hallelujah. Do you know how many people are locked into a place where if you said to them your sins are forgiven you, you would think you were a heretic? Well, it's time for breakthrough. It's time for people to get a hold of that, because that's the foundation for them moving beyond, for moving into the all, and from the all to the above all, and from the above all to the abundantly above all, and from the abundantly above all to the exceedingly abundantly above all, and on we go, from faith to faith, and from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every precious life in this place tonight. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God. It only took 4 men carrying a friend, 5 men in total, hallelujah, to bring about a breakthrough. Lord, even in a multitude, there had been no breakthrough, no record of much going on till that point, even though the crowds were there, even though the presence of God was, the scripture says, the power of God was present to heal. There ain't no record of really many folks getting healed until these men brought the breakthrough. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you tonight, Lord God, it doesn't take many people to bring about a breakthrough. David went down and discovered the God of breakthrough. Hallelujah. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would take a hold of this word tonight and begin to run with it. Lord, that we begin to run with it. It's allow it to bring that little bit of correction to our vision, to move us out of passive acceptance to active and aggressive expectancy. In the name of Jesus, that you might be glorified. That just like happened that day, you were glorified in the midst of that house. Hallelujah. In the midst of that community. Lord, we want to see you glorified again in the communities of this island, in the communities of the Highlands of Scotland, in the communities across the nation and across the nations. Because you deserve the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory.